Hi, everyone. Steve Adubato with my colleague, Mary Gambit. Mary, who are we going to see right out of the box here?
Right out of the box, we're going to see a great interview you did with John Fanta, play-by-play broadcaster, reporter, Fox Sports, and most importantly, his best and newest title, New Dad.
Yeah, John Fanta, superstar, young, talented superstar in the world of sports broadcasting. His new son, Andrew, he talks about trying to pull it all off and where sports broadcasting is going in the future. This is John Fanta, Mary, myself, Lessons in Leadership. Let's check it out. He's back by popular demand. Had him last time. Check out our website, steveadubato.org. Check out the last interview we did with this great broadcaster, a great friend of the show, John Fanta, play-by-play broadcaster reporter with Fox Sports. Good to see you, new dad.
Steve, that's the best title, the best introduction I'll ever receive right there. Yeah, it's great to see you too, my friend. And yes, we are new parents. Myself, my wife, Victoria, our baby boy, Andrew, born on May the 7th. Amazing, a miracle.
Describe again, for those of us who have been blessed enough, fortunate enough to be parents, and also when they get older, I'll just tell you, John, it doesn't get any easier. But that being said, you've accomplished so much as a broadcaster, as a professional in the field in such a short period of time. It doesn't even remotely compare to being a parent, does it?
No, it does not. And it also makes you, as a husband and now as a father, 1 million times more grateful for, one, your wife, two, your mother, three, mothers everywhere. Because what a mother has to go through. My wife was in labor for 36 hours and then went into a C-section. So that was unlike any experience that I've ever been a part of. But Steve, throughout all of it, she maintained such a positive energy, such a positive outlook. It really just served, every minute of that served as a reminder of why I decided, why I knew right when I met her that she was going to be my wife. And, you know, you walk into the C-section room and it's all white. You feel like you're in Bruce Almighty. And I'll never forget Whitney Houston's Greatest Love of All was playing over the speaker. And that moment is just beautiful. It's unbelievable. It's amazing. And our son Andrew is doing well. And I learn something new every day, Steve. That's what makes it so cool. You know, it's like us. But on steroids times 20, if not more. Every interview we do, or every event that we cover, we learn something new. But being a parent, there's nothing like it. It's hard to sum up.
You know, you got me thinking back. Our boys are 22, 21. Our daughter's 14. I have an older son, my first marriage, who's 31. And I think to myself, I try to remember back to when they were Andrew's, like, little babies, and I have a hard time doing that. That's why I'm constantly scrolling through my phone looking at pictures of our kids. But I got to ask them, over your left shoulder, the Fantas now have a new member of the starting five. Andrew, tell us what the heck that is.
So this is a jersey that, you know, this is a great story on leadership, actually. It applies to you. This is a jersey that the NBA gifted us for our wedding. So the NBA's, yes. So how did I get really connected with the NBA? You never know when your number's going to get called. This was 7 years ago. I was at a bar, Mills, in Hoboken, right on Washington Street. And I was having a Miller Lite, Steve, on a Saturday night, just totally chilling. And I was standing at the bar, and up comes this guy, and he asked me, you know, are you John Fanta? Are you the college basketball guy? We end up talking for a half hour. We talk about what you and I talk about when we hold on.
By the way, we're talking about, hold on 1 second. While we're talking, my phone goes off. Who's on this? It's Charles Barkley and the guys that were just on TNT who are moving. I swear, I'm not even making it. Now Shaq's talking. Do me a favor, can you shut that off? I don't know how it happened. But it's while you were talking, Ernie Johnson, the great team from TNT, came up on my phone. Don't ask me. Okay, so now you're in a bar. You're drinking
responsibly.
It's a Miller Lite.
Yep. Yep. And this guy walks up to me.
Are you John Fanta?
Yep. And I say, yeah, I am. And we start talking basketball. And he went to Oregon State, and he's a, you know, he's a hoops junkie. And about 30 minutes goes by. He goes, well, you know, my name's Matt. And ironically enough, I'm in a director position with the NBA's broadcast department. And I say, oh, my goodness, you know, it's great to meet you. He goes, you know, look, I know that this is pretty fresh. He goes, I didn't mean to have an interview at the bar. This is by chance, but I've actually got an event in 2 weeks. And would you be available to call it? Would you be available to do it? I was fresh out of college, single, didn't have much going on. I said, of course, where and when? He goes,
tell everyone where you went to college.
I went to Seton Hall University.
Just plugging our partners. Go ahead.
Yeah, I went to Seton Hall right here in New Jersey.
Right.
And Matt said, Matt was actually starting to get his master's at Seton Hall. And we just hit it off. And I ended up doing a minor event for the NBA. Out of that has sprung an amazing relationship of friendship in which I do some NBA games throughout the year. I do some world feed games when USA Basketball is in action for FIBA and whatnot. I sit in the Barclays Center. If you're ever at the NBA draft, I'm on the in-house show at the desk. I get to work draft night. It is the most fun experience because everything's happening in the moment and you're reacting to it. That all started at a bar. You never know when something could happen. That's how this jersey becomes reality.
That's wild. And by the way, since I had this, you never know this as well. I was actually going through my Facebook feed, and that's why I should have shut it off. But it's ironic because I have a question here. Literally, we're taping this early June. As we speak, one of the greatest broadcast teams connected to the NBA with Charles Barkley, Shaquille O'Neal, Kenny the Jet, right? And Ernie Johnson, right? They're moving from TNT.
Right.
That's breaking up. What has made that team so great? Because that's, to me, when I sit there and watch, not only do they know the game, but it's entertaining as well.
Authenticity. Not afraid to take some shots and be able to take a beating from time to time, but all in good fun. Having energy, but in a loose way. Steve, they don't force the issue. You can on TV. It's supposed to be organic. It's supposed to be authentic.
When your phone goes off, when your Facebook feed goes off. I know the editors want to cut this out, by the way, but keep talking.
You want to be relatable. Those guys are so relatable. Ernie does such an amazing job of keeping things on the roadway. I think he is an outstanding one-of-one host in television sports history. Charles Barkley doesn't care what anybody thinks, and it's very refreshing in that regard. He says things. He gives analysis. He's gotten to this point where he's close to irreplaceable, as close as it gets in this industry. And Shaq has grown as a result. And I think Kenny's very underrated for – I think the energy he brings, the different things he does, he jogs to the screen, breaks down some pictures at halftime.
Hold on 1 second, John. When you remember, do you know the video when he was jogging to, it was around Christmas time?
Yes.
And he pushed Shaq into the Christmas tree. And you know that's not planned. It's not canned. It's just, and then Shaq's feet are sticking out from underneath the tree.
What that does is it gives you, the non-sports fan, a laugh. Entertainment, and you say, you know what? I'm captivated. I think that's what that crew does so well. They relate to the basketball fan, but they've also reeled in basketball fans as a result of how welcoming they are, but also how human they are. The Inside the NBA crew for Turner has been absolutely outstanding for basketball. They all deserve, that crew deserves to be in the Basketball Hall of Fame.
And they're moving over to ESPN.
Yes, but Turner will still produce it, which is interesting. Okay. You know, ESPN makes that move, but Turner will still produce it. I think that's fascinating in this current media landscape.
Well, let's speak about the media landscape. Put this under our banner on media leadership. Put the lower third up as we're talking. This is John Fanta, who is one day he will wind up being in the Broadcasting Hall of Fame because already in his ridiculously young career, he's done some pretty great things. I got to ask you this. When you're talking about that the team with Ernie and Shaq and Barkley and Kenny Smith, the relatability to their audience's relatability to them. You were talking to us about this. You started messing around on Cameo, did you not?
I did. Yeah, I started doing.
Remind people what Cameo is for some old school folks and others who may not know, and what it has to do with fan engagement interaction. Go ahead.
So Cameo is an app in which influencers, broadcasters, movie stars, singers can hop on, have their own page, and you, the fan, can request them for a certain amount of money. I'll say right now, if you hop onto my page, it will be something that I fully believe is affordable for just about anybody, because I want to engage with the fans. The fans are who I do this for. At the end of the day, it really is the truth, besides my family. But I think it's been very cool. In March, my agency, came to me. I'm proud to be with Creative Artist Agency at CAA, and they said, "Hey, you should do this. It's March Madness. Fans love your energy during this time of year. You should hop on Cameo and do videos and different things." And Steve, at first I'm like, "Really? Is this going to be the right idea? Am I doing the right thing here? I don't want to." You know, I don't want to shill. I don't want to do anything like that. But they're like, no. They're like, this is how you converse with fans. This is how you engage with fans. Steve, we're talking now hundreds of requests from different fans. I've been so humbled. Can you tell my dad happy birthday? Can you tell my son, who's a longtime supporter of yours, how much it means to you to have him support and what you think St. John's ceiling's going to be? Can you break down UConn's roster for fans? It's unbelievable.
That's Cameo. By the way, no disrespect, John. I love it. Great that you're doing that. For me, particularly when you're connected to public broadcasting, it doesn't feel right for me. For you, it works, correct?
It works because a lot of what I have seen, and I think is interesting right now in the current, especially in the sports world, Steve, your social media brand and following and who you are in that space has never been more important. Never.
Real quick on this. You're saying what we are doing, traditional legacy media, not going to be enough.
Well, I think it's important, and I think there are ways that we're seeing legacy media even come back a little bit more than people expected. See, the last couple of years it's been, well, this is going to move to this streaming platform, right, and this is going to move to this streaming platform. Streaming platforms are integral. They're very important. But if you look at the television ratings on broadcast news, on broadcast stations, rather, the big networks, we're still seeing an appetite for that. I think it's how the two merge. So right. I think the more that they both engage with one another and embrace one another, the better it's going to be for all parties. But, people right now, the consumer is they're having to pay for a lot of these streamers, whereas big broadcast television, there's still a place for that, especially when this costs $24.99 or this costs $31.99.
Yes, there's always a place in our world for public broadcasting. Yes. You don't have to pay for it. It's quality content. That's the end of my commercial for non-commercial TV. That is, in fact, John Fanta, play-by-play broadcaster, reporter with Fox Sports. Check him out. John, wish you and your family and Andrew, your new son, all the best.
Steve, I would talk with you anytime. Thankful for you to have me on. I appreciate you.
You got it. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
This edition of Lessons in Leadership is made possible by the Buccino Leadership Institute at Seton Hall University, Prager Metis, Valley Bank, the International Union of Operating Engineers, Local 825, the North Ward Center, Gingoli Construction, the New Jersey Sharing Network, Horizon Blue Cross Blue Shield of New Jersey, The Helix, Fedway Associates, Inc., the Port Authority of New York and New Jersey, and Seton Hall University, showing the world what great minds can do since 1856.
This is Mary Gamba. If you want more leadership tips and tools, log on to stand-deliver.com. That's stand-deliver.com.
Promotional support for this edition of Lessons in Leadership with me, Steve Adubato, and my colleague, Mary Gamba, has been provided by NJ.com, NJBIA and New Jersey Business Magazine, CIANJ and Commerce Magazine, and the Meadowlands Chamber and Meadowlands Media.
Great drive fuels the leaders of tomorrow and today. Great vision paves the way for a brighter future. Great ambition goes places, moving onward,
and upward. Great empathy finds strength in kindness and in each other, working together to create something bigger than they ever imagined. Great minds can change the world, and great minds start at Seton Hall.
We're honored to be joined by Aisha Thomas-Petit, who is Senior Vice President, Chief Human Resources Officer at Horizon Blue Cross Blue Shield of New Jersey. Aisha, good to see you again.
It's great to see you, Steve.
Let's do this. We had a great conversation. We met at NJPAC, New Jersey Performing Arts Center. I was having an in-depth interview about leadership with Gary St. Hilaire, your CEO. And we were talking over lunch as to how you came to Horizon. Talk about that journey, and then we'll talk a little bit more about HR in 2025.
Go ahead. My goodness. Okay. Well, I came to this seat, what I would call a pretty wild and unsuspecting journey. I have had careers in a couple of different industries, crossing financial services, HR technology and service, media and entertainment, if you can believe that, and now in insurance, healthcare. And so in all of that, it's been, I'd call it a wild ride in human resources. I started my career on the business side of banking back before all of the mergers, what is now known as JP Morgan Chase, up to and including Horizon today. It's been amazing to lead teams in very different industries and business sectors. And I've lived through some of the most unimaginable circumstances with contracting and expanding, closing the doors on organizations and opening others all across the world. So it's been fantastic, Steve.
Aisha, let me do this. First, let me disclose once again that Horizon is a significant underwriter of public broadcasting, our work as well in public broadcasting. Let me ask you this before Mary jumps in. We talked a lot about leadership development. We, in the past few years back, we ran the Horizon Leadership Academy for talented leaders coming up and focused on communication skills, how to run better meetings, how to coach and mentor other people, how to deal with confrontation in a productive, meaningful way, blah, 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 blah. Get to this question. Why do you think it's so difficult for so many professionals to receive honest, constructive feedback without being defensive? Not a big question, just a question I think about all the time. Go ahead, Aisha.
Well, I think it starts with the average human's discomfort with vulnerability. People are simply not comfortable being exactly who they are in front of the camera or behind the scenes. And when you conquer that vulnerability aspect of who you are, you get less defensive along the way.
Do you think that learning to be more receptive to constructive feedback about how you can improve is something that is a learned leadership skill?
I do think it's learned. I mean, I definitely feel like there's some personality traits or characteristics that make it easier for a leader to show up more vulnerable than perhaps they would otherwise. But it really starts for me with knowing who you are. You know, if you could sit down and write down on a piece of paper the things about you that make you a leader, you're probably more inclined to meet the person in front of you with a level of openness and receptivity and vulnerability than perhaps you would if you did not do that exercise.
Well said. Mary.
Aisha, especially since COVID in this new world, I can't believe we're going on 5-6 years into post-pandemic. What have you found to be the primary changes in terms of when you're recruiting a new workforce, when you're bringing in those new people? I'm assuming, and we've talked to some other folks as well and leaders, the demands have been changing, the asks, whether it's work from home or at least have a hybrid work environment. If you were to say, what is that one thing, that one big pivot change that happened since COVID, what would that be and what people are looking for from HR and from their employers?
Yeah, I think it really boils down to a greater level of flexibility. And I don't mean flexibility in the sort of common definition of work-life balance and trying to manage it all. I mean that we have been expected to work quite differently than we've ever worked before. And when I think about flexibility, I think of, you know, my previous employer. I went through an entire interview process for a C-suite role without ever shaking a hand. I've been working for a long time. I'm getting very dangerously close to 30 years. And I can't say that I would have ever imagined myself in that type of interaction and come out on the other side of it successful. So we've had to learn a different way of engaging with one another, using various tools and resources that simply weren't available to us. Perhaps they were available, but weren't readily used or custom or customary pre-COVID. And so if that tells you anything, you can get a C-suite job without ever shaking a hand.
So interesting. Along the lines of the career that you've had, Mary and I talk about, because in our leadership coaching, people will often ask about their careers. And for years, I used to say, well, career development is not leadership development. And Mary knows that I don't see it. I believe if you're doing leadership coaching, you do need to talk to people about their careers. So let me ask you this. For you, to what degree have you intentionally and strategically been engaged in career development for yourself, A, and B, to what degree in your role do you provide career development coaching?
It's a great question, Steve. The root of career development for me is an evaluation of your personal and professional networks.
Relationships?
I'm sorry?
Relationships?
Absolutely. Relationships that go deeper than I think we've gone in the professional space. I had the benefit of sitting in the audience. A Harvard professor was giving a speech about 10 years ago, and she talked about the need to not have your professional and personal networks be static. And she talked about networks in the context of three categories: strategic, operational, and developmental. And that sort of bifurcation of those three categories really sat with me, because when I sat and took stock of who was in those categories of networks for me, it kind of gave me a signal on how I either was or should have been navigating my own career. We have a tendency as humans to have the same go-to list, whether
That's
it be
right.
in the professional or personal space. And quite frankly, we do ourselves a disservice when we don't sort of add to or subtract from or, you know, sort of keep fresh those three particular networks in support of career development.
I love that. And Mary, you know, as Aisha's talking about this, you and I are thinking the same thing. In our, we're always talking to people about if you're the hub, it's a,
yep.
We always say it's a hub and spokes kind of thing. You're the hub. It's like a bicycle tire. And the spokes are your stakeholders and someone, and it's an assignment we have people do. And they go, I already did my hub and spokes. And I said, so those are all the relationships? Yes, I'm done. You're done? How about new one? No, I'm done. And you just made it clear. You got to keep. All right, I'm off my soapbox. Mary, jump back in.
Speaking about hub and spokes, one thing I know about you, Aisha, you are involved in so many different things. Talk a little bit about your passion for giving back. You're on a bunch of boards. I don't want to get this wrong. Big Brothers, Big Sisters of Essex Union and Hudson Counties, the Opportunity Network, et cetera. Where does your passion for giving back come from?
I do think it's probably how I was raised. I'm crystal clear sitting in the seat that I'm in today that I did not get here by myself. I got a very good advice and counsel and support and, dare I say the word, love along the way. And so I really count it my duty to look back, look to the side. You know, I'm really looking up, down, and across for opportunities to impact someone's life. I don't think that you can be a leader without having very strong influence and very strong impact on a person, a place, or a thing. And if you're lucky, you get to do all three. So over the last couple of years, I've really connected myself more deeply with organizations that provide access and opportunity for people who perhaps didn't have it in the past. Even to this day, you can probably look around in C-suite roles, and I'm sure, you know, McKinsey does a study every year with stats on what I'm about to say. There are still very few women, and dare I say women of color,
that's right,
in C-suite roles. And I count it a blessing to have gotten to the spot, but I am only as good as the wins that come behind me. I've already, in effect, I think I said this to you, Steve, previously, by all accounts, I've won the game on corporate America. I don't feel like I can continue to win unless it's off the back of someone else's win.
Wow. You know, Aisha, when I met you at NJPAC and we had a brief conversation with our good friend, Jen Velez, right?
Yes.
We were having lunch and I thought, this is someone who's had a fascinating journey in corporate America and the work that she does and volunteer boards, great organizations like Big Brothers, Big Sisters, our friend Carlos Leniak's there. I wanted to make sure that we were able to share, you were able to share your insight, your wisdom, your expertise with our audience. And we cannot thank you enough for joining us. We look forward to speaking again. All the best, Aisha.
Thank you so much.
You got it. Mary and I will be back with some final words after this.
This is Mary Gamba. If you want more leadership tips and tools, log on to stand-deliver.com. That's stand-deliver.com.
Promotional support for this edition of Lessons in Leadership with me, Steve Adubato, and my colleague, Mary Gamba, has been provided by NJ.com, NJBIA and New Jersey Business Magazine, CIANJ and Commerce Magazine, and the Meadowlands Chamber and Meadowlands Media.
Some final words. Mary, your biggest takeaway from Aisha?
It is just amazing. She had said she's almost 30 years doing this and just watching her passion and lifelong learning and just constantly growing, evolving. It was super inspirational.
And the other part of that is, you know, in the digital world we're living in, the virtual world we're living in and doing the productions we do like this, there is still nothing like, I remember just being at NJPAC, having lunch with her at this event where I was able to moderate a Q&A with their CEO. There still is nothing like literally breaking bread with someone and getting to know them, because that's what triggered, hey, we really need to have her on the air. She'd be great. Old school meeting people in real time over a meal never gets old. For Steve, Mary, and myself, by the way, I haven't seen Mary in a long time. I haven't seen you in a while.
It's been a while. We'll have to get together soon, but for now, we'll catch you next time.
That's Mary's way of saying, Steve, you got to say goodbye. We'll see you next time.
This edition of Lessons in Leadership is made possible by the Buccino Leadership Institute at Seton Hall University, Prager Metis, Valley Bank, the International Union of Operating Engineers, Local 825, the North Ward Center, Gingoli Construction, the New Jersey Sharing Network, Horizon Blue Cross Blue Shield of New Jersey, The Helix, Fedway Associates, Inc., the Port Authority of New York and New Jersey, and Seton Hall University, showing the world what great minds can do since 1856.
This is Mary Gamba. If you want more leadership tips and tools, log on to stand-deliver.com. That's stand-deliver.com.
Promotional support for this edition of Lessons in Leadership with me, Steve Adubato, and my colleague, Mary Gamba, has been provided by NJ.com, NJBIA and New Jersey Business Magazine, CIANJ and Commerce Magazine, and the Meadowlands Chamber and Meadowlands Media.
Great drive fuels the leaders of tomorrow and today. Great vision paves the way for a brighter future. Great ambition goes places, moving onward and upward. Great empathy finds strength in kindness and in each other, working together to create something bigger than they ever imagined. Great minds can change the world, and great minds
start at Seton Hall.